John 15, 1 to 17. So it's the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So far from God's word.
And my apologies for that little mistake. I had everybody believing that we were looking at John 1. Forgot to add the 5 to make it 15. But John 15, we're carrying on in our series through the Gospel of John. And we're up to chapter 15 today, one which I think is well known by many who have walked for Christians, even a short length of time. Ties in a little bit with what we said to the children just a few moments ago. Some of you will know that my wife Nicola loves flowers, she loves plants. And before we were married, she actually had a very successful business as a wedding florist. That love has grown in our time in Scotland and having the opportunity to travel in Europe. We now come back to Australia and she has a beautiful garden here in our home at the manse. I enjoy her labour in the garden, but I am often employed also to labour with her. And as we've spent time in the garden as a family, without really paying too much attention, if I'm honest, I've started to recognise a few plants and flowers. And every now and again, I'll point to something and say, oh, that's a lovely such and such. Just either make up a name or say a name of a plant I've heard. And 2 times out of 10, I might be right. But I'm picking up a few things as we go. I wonder if any of you have heard of a plant called a tillandsia type of plant. And of course, plants have proper names, and by my own admission, getting it only right 2 out of 10 times, you know that this is not like I've learnt the proper names of all the plants that there are. Okay, I clearly looked this one up. So plants have a proper name, but they've also got a common name, and a tillandsia's more common name is, of course, the air plant. You nod your heads and groan and say, oh, of course, that's what it is. An air plant. Now, some tillandsias are air plants. They have minimal or no root structure. They grow on shifting desert soil. Most of these species absorb moisture through their leaves from rain or from dew, from dust, decaying insect matter in leaves. That's all they need to live on. They really break all the rules, right? I mean, in terms of what I told the children, thankfully, I'm presuming that they don't know about the air plants. And when you're coming to a passage like John 15 and you're speaking about bearing fruit, you would expect the pastor, probably anywhere, to say, here's what you need to grow good fruit. And if you plant a seed, if you plant a tree, flowers, it needs good soil. It needs to be attached to the vine. A plant cannot grow unless it has roots, fertile soil, unless, of course, it's an air plant. And of course, they're really an exception to the rule. For fruit to grow, plants really do need good soil. They need water. They need the right amount of water. They need sun, but the right amount of sun. The roots need to go deep down into good fertilized soil. They need enough space for the roots. And the same is true for us as Christians. If we are to bear fruit, if we are to grow and become mature as Christians, then we need to be connected to Jesus. As such, we need to be in the good soil, that connection with Jesus. Because what we're going to see in the passage is that when we as Christians are rooted in Jesus, when we hear his word and it is sown in our lives, we have ears to hear, then we will bear much fruit. The problem is this. Many Christians live their lives as air plants. You may not like to consider yourself as such. Many Christians live their lives as air plants. Some of us don't bear fruit. Maybe we don't realize we need to. Maybe we're trying to do it on our own apart from Jesus. But many Christians are not connected to Jesus in a way that they experience his love. They don't have an active and life-giving relationship with Jesus. We might connect once a week, week to week at church. We might throw up the odd prayer here and there. But many Christians are not actually connected to Jesus. And it is a problem. Because as verse 8 tells us, God is glorified as we bear fruit. And we were created, every one of us, for the glory of God. So if we fail to be connected to Jesus, if we fail to bear fruit, God is not glorified in our lives. It's the very purpose for which we live. It says, it goes further to say that the branch like that is thrown away in the fire and is burned. So my message this morning is clear. Do not be an air plant. Do not be an air plant. You can't survive. You can't live as a Christian. And so as we come to John 15, what I want you to keep in mind and remember is the fact that Jesus is still in the upper room with his disciples. They are still reclining. He's broken bread and had wine with them, as we will do this evening at our evening service. And then Jesus goes on. This is the longest discourse that he gives us in the book of John. It's really his final words to his disciples before he is arrested and will be crucified the very next day. He has so much to tell them. There's things he wants to instruct them with. He wants to teach them about being disciples of Jesus. He wants to tell them how they are to live and also what they are to expect as his disciples. And those of us who are Christians are disciples. We are disciples of Jesus. And the first thing we need to understand from the passage is that disciples of Jesus are to bear fruit. Disciples of Jesus are to bear fruit. Now, at first in this passage, Jesus kind of teaches us and helps us understand that implicitly. That is to say, he doesn't just come out and say it. Rather, it's a little more implied. So when we read verse 5, Jesus says, "Whoever remains in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." Now, it could be that Jesus is just saying, here's how you bear fruit. But I think it says more than that. I think it implies that we are to bear fruit. In verse 8, as we've already looked at and read, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." Disciples of Jesus are to bear fruit. Now, we could look at these verses, which says, "Whoever remains in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. By bearing fruit, the Father is glorified." We could look at them and say, that would be great, wouldn't it? We do want God to be glorified. We do want to bear fruit, but sometimes it's a little bit unrealistic, a little bit hard. Maybe it's not entirely necessary. It's not quite given to us explicitly here as a command. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to you and I as his disciples. He's addressing you as his disciples. And he's saying, if you remain in me, you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You're expected to bear fruit. It is not optional. And you do it by remaining in him. It's both a command and also the way by which we can fulfill the command. As we get later on in these verses, which Andy read for us, verse 16 is a little bit more plain with it. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Christians are to bear fruit. I wonder if you see that in your own life, if you recognize that you bear fruit. I wonder if you recognize that your aim, your desire is to bear fruit. Becomes a little more explicit, I think, even again than these verses, when in verse 2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Christians are to bear fruit. And there are times in our lives, without going into it too much this morning, but there are times when we face trials and we face difficulties and there are hard things. And we ask why, like the psalmist, we do not understand it. But it might be that it is part of God's pruning process. And to prune the plant is to injure or wound the plant, but for its benefit, that it will grow. And we face trials, we face difficulties. And yet God has purpose in it. We need to be connected to the vine. Sometimes when we do face trial, when we do face difficulties, our temptation is to withdraw from the vine. We do not want to be injured or hurt anymore. We do not want the trial that we face. But we need to be connected to the vine because we need to bear fruit. And if we do not bear fruit, says the branch is thrown away and withers and then it is burned. To fail to bear fruit is in fact to show that we are not part of the vine. They were not actually his disciples. This is a key passage for us to understand as Christians. Our need to be connected to Jesus. Are you bearing fruit? We might ask, well, what is the fruit that we are to bear? And there are many things. Some of the fruit could be, as the passage I read in our confession of sin from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said, about taking this message of reconciliation to other people. That we say to them, be reconciled to God. And that there might be good fruit which is born from our planting seeds. Other people themselves are one to Christ. But I think one of my favorite pictures when it comes to thinking about the vine and the branches, so very basic, and I hope we understand it, is that the branch, by the nature of being connected to the vine, gets everything it needs for its life. Its ability to flourish and grow fruit comes from the fact that it is connected to the vine. From the vine, the branch gets all its nutrients. Everything the branch needs to grow and bear fruit comes from the vine. Not just in this passage, but today. Any tree, any bush, any flowers you have in your garden, that is what is true. And the branch takes on the likeness of the vine. Is that not right? The branch has the DNA of the vine running through it. There are many trees and plants whereby if you cut the branch off and you plant it on the ground, it eventually grows its own roots and becomes a tree like the one from which it came. We were recently given a frangipani branch from one of our neighbors. It's just a dry old branch. And then Nicola says, you've got to leave it to dry out a little bit longer. It's got no roots, it's got nothing. And then you stick it in a pot, and after a little while it does grow some roots, and then you can stick it on the ground. And now we've got a few of these just at the very front corner of the house. That branch is eventually going to grow to look like the tree from which it came. It is in the likeness of the vine. And that is to be true of you and me. By being connected to the vine, by being connected to Jesus, All we need for life and godliness, all we need to be his children is given to us. And if we're truly connected to him, we should have lives which look like his. We should be growing up into maturity. We should be transforming to be more and more like Jesus. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says that Jesus gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, to equip his people so that each one of us as God's people would reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus, that we would become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. A couple of verses later, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The metaphor is slightly different. Here it's of a body. And we need to be connected to the head. A vine and a branch, the branch needs to be connected to the vine. But the aim is that we would grow up into maturity, into the fullness of Christ. That is, that we become like him in our life. If we remain in the vine, this is a wonderful promise. If we remain in the vine, we will bear much fruit. It's not just a command. It's not just a rebuke for when we look at our lives and think, I'm actually not remaining in the vine. It's also a promise to say, if you do remain in him, you will bear fruit. Some trees are very slow to grow, and maybe we feel like we're being slow to grow, but if we're connected to him, we will bear fruit. How wonderful. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It comes as we keep in step, as we walk with the Spirit, as we are connected to Jesus. Thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a great chapter that tells us about love and what love should be like. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not self-seeking, and so on the list goes. That is the kind of love, that is the kind of fruit that should be seen in our lives. And if you're not connected to Jesus, you cannot have that kind of love. You cannot truly have a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. You might have a measure of it by yourself, but apart from Christ, you can do nothing, it says. You need to be connected to the vine. Are you connected to the vine? Are you bearing fruit? Again, there's a number of verses we could look at. There's one further one from Colossians 3. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is what our lives should look like. This is the fruit that should be seen in our lives as Christians. Is your life showing that? Are you growing in these things? If not, perhaps it's because you're not truly connected to the vine. It's not optional. Christians are to bear fruit. And our lives should bear fruit that makes us recognizable as his disciples. Let me say that again. Our lives should bear fruit that makes us recognizable as his disciples. If I was wearing my kilt, if I had my face painted with the saltire, the Scottish flag, so the blue background with the St. Andrew's cross, the white cross in front of it, I wouldn't even likely even need to open my mouth and speak for you to be pretty sure I was Scottish. But my accent alone does a pretty good job of marking me out as Scottish. It's a fairly distinguishing feature. Our lives as disciples should bear fruit, and our lives should make it clear to everybody that we are Christians. A few chapters earlier, John 13, verse 35, we read, they will know you are disciples by your love for one another. So some of the fruit that we should show is love for other Christians. And that fruit should be recognizable. It should distinguish us as Christians. That's an incredibly challenging thing because many people who are not Christians have love for one another. But our love for other Christians should so distinguish us that they will know you are my disciples. Our fruit should be seen. We are to bear fruit as Christians. We recently went to Bunnings, and as I pushed Eilish along in the trolley, we went past some of the young fruit trees and bushes which you see. And Eilish could see some of the fruit on some of these trees and plants. And even though the fruit was not ripe or it was not coloured to what it would finally be, she could recognise that there were lemon trees and orange trees and strawberry plants, because the fruit is so obvious when you look at it. And the fruit tells us what type of plant or tree that it is. So it should also then be for us as Christians. People should be able to see the fruit in our lives, and they should be able to recognize us as Christians. Not just as people who go to church or even people who speak about Jesus, but people whose lives are so obviously transformed, who live like the vine, like Jesus himself. And it should be seen. Are you bearing fruit? Are you connected to the vine? If we're not bearing fruit, I'll say it again, it's arguably because we're not connected to the vine. If we're not bearing fruit, we have to challenge and consider whether we are connected truly to Jesus. I think for some of us, we're hanging on. We're hanging on. I don't know if you've ever used a saw, even a chainsaw, to cut a branch. Typically with a saw, when you do it, you get so far, your arm gets a little bit tired, and then maybe the branch falls a little bit, and there's one tiny little bit, and it's just kind of hanging on. And you kind of pull it by hand almost. Hanging on by a thread, we might say. The branch is still attached to the vine, but it's not going to be bearing fruit. Because there needs to be a vital union, a proper connection between the vine and the branch. Barely hanging on, it will eventually die and cannot bear fruit and will likely be chopped off, thrown to one side and burned. This can be a bit of a picture of our own walk with Jesus. And maybe it is a bit of a picture of your own walk with Jesus right now. And if it is, let me tell you this, you can reconnect. You can come to Jesus, you can seek his forgiveness. You can acknowledge in your life that, Jesus, I know I've not been walking closely with you. I've not been connected to you. I've not been remaining in the vine as I should and as I would want to. And there's forgiveness, there's love, there's mercy for you. And Jesus repairs that relationship again. And all of the love and the joy and the peace that is only found in him flows from him into our lives, so that we bear that fruit in our lives. How wonderful. The second, the final thing we want to say, if the first thing is that disciples of Christ need to bear fruit, the second thing we've touched on, disciples of Christ need to remain in Christ. We need to remain in Christ. Jesus says, verse 5, remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. How are we going to do this? What does it mean to remain? I have a friend in Scotland who is an artist. He runs a ministry for Christian artists. And one of the early art pieces he did was to take the word remain and do it in different mediums, different ways of having this word remain displayed. And I remember in our previous church in Scotland, we inquired about buying a piece of his art with this word remain, because to me it's such a key, such a vital word and concept for us to grasp. That we as Christians are to remain in Christ, remain in Jesus, remain in me, he says, and you will bear much fruit. I think in one sense it's fairly self-explanatory. I think most of us would be able to say whether or not you are or are not remaining in Christ. You might understand what you need to do in order to remain in Christ. So let me ask you again, are you remaining in him? Are you connected to him? I wonder what your devotional life is like. Do you spend time with Jesus regularly and consistently? Do you pray? Do you read the Bible? Are these regular and consistent? Or is it merely a tick box exercise? Or is there a desire to really, truly connect and draw close to Jesus as you do it? It was only a few months ago, the beginning of the year, we did the spiritual review of the year, and I brought that to you, encouraged us to consider time spent with Jesus in Bible reading and in prayer. It's a lifeline for us. It's what connects us to Jesus. And it's only as we're connected to him that we will bear much fruit. Are you remaining in Jesus? Some of us might say yes. Some of us might lack assurance a little bit and say, oh, I hope so. Others of us might say, oh, I'm not sure I am. I know my relationship is poor with Jesus right now. My hope is that all of us would have a vital, life-giving, active, close relationship with Jesus. And it is possible. But it is possible only if we realize the importance of it. If we think it's not important, we will not do it. As we said at the beginning of the year, if the Bible is boring and has nothing new to offer you, you won't read it. But if it can give you life, if you understand you live for the glory of God and you do that as you bear fruit, then you will remain in Christ. It's the only way you can bear fruit and bring glory to God. The word remain is an interesting one. We can think of it a couple of different ways, actually. In Scotland, where I am from, there are many castles which remain there to the present day, but they are no more than remains. These castles have been in that country and in that place for hundreds and hundreds of years. But where there once stood a grand and quite magnificent castle, there are only remains. Half a wall, maybe even just a few stones. But it remains, you see, and we see that is pretty remarkable. 400 years later, it remains. The problem is that for many of these castles today, what it should look like is not apparent from what it looks like today. And it's certainly not functioning as it was intended to. I think that can be true of some of us as Christians. We say, I am a Christian. I remain a Christian. But the reality is it can be by our profession only. Our profession remains, but our activity, our purpose as Christians is not really there. We don't really function as Christians. We don't really walk with Jesus or pray or spend time with him in his word. And so we don't bear fruit. Some of us do things that Christians should do. We come to church. That's so important. But church isn't the vine. Going to Bible studies, serving in ministry, that is not the vine. Jesus is the vine. And if we're connected to him, then the fruit of that is very likely to be that your desire would be to come and be with God's people in church, to be in Bible studies, to serve in ministry. But Jesus is the vine. He is the one alone who gives life. And look, this morning, if you're sitting here and you're not a Christian and you're thinking, this is all for Christians, let me tell you, truly, if you want life now in all its fullness, an eternal life to come, the only way, Jesus has said it in the previous chapter, the only way to be right with God, to have life now and in the life to come, is to be connected to Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life, he says. Are you connected to him? Do you remain in him? Some of us maybe we feel like we're hanging on by a thread. But there's hope, there's love, there's mercy for us. If you were to, again, a few months on, do your spiritual review, how would you consider, take stock of your relationship with Jesus right now? Could you use that word and say, I'm remaining in Christ. I'm vitally connected to him. He lives in me and lives through me to the glory of God. That's our great hope as Christians. That's what Jesus has appointed for us to do. When we have that connection, when we remain in Christ, what a blessing it is. What joy is ours. What glory to God there is in this. And so let me close. I imagine many of you would be familiar with Psalm 73. It's a psalm of Asaph. He says, as he begins, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph looks on and all these unbelievers, he looks on and he says, they flourish, they are having a great life, but me, follow God, and it's in vain. He says his foot had almost slipped. But then there's this wonderful verse. It says, "When I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end." From verse 18 through to the close of that psalm, Asaph is a man transformed. He sees things entirely differently. He doesn't have this jealousy towards the ungodly as he did. His feet are on firm ground. In verse 28, he says, "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." When he came to the sanctuary, when he came to God, when you and I come to Jesus, remain in him, are united and connected with him, it is good. We see things differently. Our perspective changes. Look, it's not a silver bullet to some easy life. It's not saying that at all. But for everything in life that we have to deal with, we are better equipped to deal with it when we are near to God, when we remain in the vine. So often we face anxiety and fear in our lives. I think so many of us experience heightened anxiety and fear because we're not walking closely with Jesus. Some of us are not really experiencing the joy of being in Christians. We don't really enjoy our relationship with him. Quite possibly that's because we're not remaining in him. We're not walking closely. In verse 11 of John 15, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." I don't know if these things seem hard to be united to Jesus, but it is for your joy. It is good for you to be close to God. As Asaph says, it is good for me to be near God. It is good for you. And it is glory to God when we do as well. We unite ourselves to Christ. And from him flows all we need. Everything of who he is, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the humility, everything flows from him to us. And then should flow out of us for others to see. God will be glorified in that. He will be blessed in that. Verse 8 of John 15, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So then let us remain. Let us remain in Christ. Amen.